Brother Pete is going to lead us in our first two scripture readings this morning, the first of which comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, time for everything, common reading at the new year. And then we're also going to look ahead to the world that is to come in a reading from Revelation 21. Firstly, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 15.
Our reading this morning comes with the heading Solomon's General Observations, a time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the bondage God has laid on them. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. Now we turn to Revelation 21. The heading, Making Everything New, the New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Thus far our reading.
Thank you, Peter. Now let's turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. Psalm 90 on page 588 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of God. Congregation, it's been our usual tradition over a number of years to hold a special service on New Year's Eve. An opportunity for us to remember the year that has passed and to look ahead to the new year that is almost upon us. And this year, New Year's Eve is, of course, a Sunday. So rather than have a special service, we're going to do that reflecting this morning. My goal as we do so is that we might reflect, that we might ponder, think carefully and reflectively, that we might be able to look back on a year that has passed in our lives and look forward to a new year, to 2018, in a God-honoring way. And to do so, let's turn our attention this morning to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 has always been a special psalm. For one, it's the oldest of the psalms, as far as we know, written by Moses, the only psalm written by Moses. It was written in an age which was quicker to reflect on death and judgment than our own age. It's a psalm that's not unusual to find read at a funeral. And it's also a psalm that's commonly read at the end of a year and the start of a new year. That's the context in which we read and reflect on it this morning. It's a psalm that reminds us about our lives and reminds us of some sobering realities. Let me read verse 10 to you again. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. And the first reality that this psalm brings to our minds is that our days are numbered. Moses writes, the length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. And he writes again in verse 12, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Numbering days to feel their length was something that many people have done. Robinson Crusoe with his little notches on the poster to count the days. But numbering days to feel the length of days is something that Moses got a good opportunity to do. But the setting of this psalm is most likely the time of Israel's desert wanderings. God had rescued his people from Egypt. He'd led them through the Red Sea. He had faithfully provided them with water to drink and manna to eat. But God's people had had enough. They sent the spies out to check out the promised land. You know the story. Reports of prosperity of the land. The land was a good land. This is a land, a place you'd want to be. The size of the inhabitants, that was true. But the reports lacked faith. The spies, for the most part, forgot that they had God on their side. They said, "We can't go up there. You've said we could go over and take the land. God, we can't do that. They're too strong for us. We're little tiny little grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it." They forgot that God was on their side. And so God judged the people for their sin, their failure to trust Him. And what was the sentence? 40 years locked up in the desert. I visited prison before. I've never served any time in a prison, but I visited prison. I've spoken to prisoners, and one thing that prison gives you is a lot of time for reflection. Not a lot else to do, but plenty of time to think, to reflect, to ponder. And one of the most important things that we might reflect on is the length of our lives. It's life, our lives and their brevity. Our days are numbered. We are here one day, we are gone the next. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Our days are numbered. And if we allow this truth to penetrate into our hearts, then we will gain a heart of wisdom. Perhaps 2017 will be our last year on planet Earth. No one can simply assume any day that we will have tomorrow. Who knows when Christ will return? Maybe He will come as a thief in the night, perhaps tonight. Or perhaps 2018 will be the year. Or perhaps it will be my last year or yours. We don't know the future. But we do know that the length of our days have a limit. They have a limit known not to us, known only to God. Death waits for no one. And so I ask you this morning, in all seriousness, are you ready? Are you ready for the possibility that you may have less than 365 days left to live? The reality of terminal illness brings that home to many of us. It did for my family when my father passed away some 5 years ago. But it shouldn't take that to make this any more real. And you will be ready for this. You will be ready for the possibility that this coming year will be your last year. If the Lord is yours, if He is your dwelling place, if you've confessed your sins to the Lord and reached out to Him for mercy, mercy that's found in Christ and Christ alone. And so I ask you this morning, are you ready? That's my question. Are you really ready? Are you ready whether you're 70 or 80 or maybe older? Are you ready even if you are still a child? None of us can assume that we will get more. Our days are numbered. Has that sunk in? Are you ready? Our days are numbered. But our days aren't merely numbered. They are also days that are troubled. Our days are troubled. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. Trouble and sorrow. Two ideas that seem quite similar to us in English, but in reality they're expressing two quite distinct, two quite different thoughts. The first word, trouble, their span is but trouble. The first word, trouble, expresses the idea of hard work and toil, of labor. We read it before in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Our lives are full of work, full of hard work, and that can trouble us. Of course, it wasn't always so, and work wasn't like that from the beginning. There's nothing at all wrong with work in itself. God created us to be workers, and there's nothing in the Bible that indicates that the new heavens and the new earth will be any different. There's nothing that indicates that life in the new heavens and the new earth will be like living on a cruise liner, sipping cocktails beside the pool as you go through sunny days and glamorous nights. No, we were created by God to be workers. We were created to work. Our bodies are designed to enable us to work. That is to do things, to be productive, to create, to produce, to order things into their place, to learn things. And then what happened? Sin came along. And what was easy became hard. What was pleasurable became a pain in the backside sometimes. And the crops still grow as they did before, but now the weeds grow as well. And the weeds grow really well even without you needing to fertilize them. The task list that you have at work each day of the things that you need to do, sometimes it just seems to be growing faster and faster, faster than you can complete tasks. Every time you've crossed something off, two more things have taken their place. Or else work is like this, and it takes you all day to do the things that you have to do, and all these trivial things, and nothing else gets done, nothing meaningful that is. What sort of day when you spend all day just returning messages, responding to emails? Nothing lasting, nothing meaningful, nothing that isn't undone by life as we know it. Our lives are full of work, full of hard work, full of toil. And the challenge for us as God's people is not to be overcome by the difficulty of hard work on the one hand, and on the other hand, not just to give up and retreat away into nothingness. Not to be overcome and not to retreat. And that's where I think our Christian faith plays a role, a very important role. For we know that as we work diligently, we work serving the Lord. Whether that's in responsibilities and opportunities in the church, or in the home, or in the workplace, or at school, or in the community. And we know that while it's going to be hard, God's able to use our hard work, our diligent work, for His glory, for the good of others, to build His kingdom, to promote justice, to draw the lost. Our days are troubled. And that trouble is built into the reality of the tiring nature of work. And yet, we can always give ourselves fully to the work. We can throw ourselves into it, 1 Corinthians 15:58, because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not meaningless. It's not empty. Maybe that's the challenge that you're facing today. Not to retreat away into cynicism and give up, but to change your attitude towards work in the new year. To honour work as a means to serve the Lord and those around you, not just as a means to a more basic end of food on the table. Their span is but trouble. And the second of those words, sorrow, that's more straightforward as it reads in English. Harm and disaster. Bad things, a life of tears, a life of sorrow. Moses isn't saying here that this means that life is forever drab and without joy. He's not saying that. No Christian writer could ever say that, I believe. We have joy in God. We have lasting joy, deep joy, comfort-giving joy. And we also have sorrows. That's life as it is now, and you and I, we all know that. We reflected on some of those sadnesses from the book of Genesis last week, the Genesis of sadness. For the day is not yet come when every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. The day is not yet come when there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That day has not yet come. Some of you, some of us, we've experienced that in the days that have made up this year. Friends and family have died. You've lost your job. You've received difficult news. And as you look back on the year, you would agree with the psalmist here. You would say that the span of my year has been trouble and sorrow. It's been a hard year. And yet God has still been with you. God hasn't given up. He hasn't deserted you. He's still here. He's still in control. He's still God and He's still faithful. But for some of you, others of you, others of us, none of those things have happened. And you find yourself here this morning and you're reflecting on a year that's gone by and the year seemed pretty good on the whole. And what do we say? Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God for the joy that you've received. It's a gift. It's a gift from His hands. And it may not be lasting. It may not be lasting. Every season of your life may not be like this year. But enjoy it while it's yours. For darker, painful days are on the horizon. And I don't say that this morning to rain on your parade, to rain upon your joy, but as a moment of realism, because we live in a world of tears. And sorrow does enter the span of our lives. Our days are numbered, and our days are troubled. And then there's one final reflection on our days that Moses has, and that is that our days are passing quickly. The days are passing quickly. The final section of verse 10, Moses writes, "For they quickly pass, and we fly away." Isn't that so true? Every year that goes by seems to move more rapidly than the last. It's sometimes like the pedals flat to the metal. You're just going hard out as fast as you can go. And time just seems to continually be accelerating faster and faster and faster and faster. And things that go faster and faster and faster can mesmerize us. They can capture our gaze. They can mesmerize you that after a while things are going so fast that you can't see the colors going round and round anymore. They all just seem to blur together into one, spinning faster and faster together. It's a little bit of a picture of what life can be like for us. Faster and faster and faster and faster. And you stop counting birthdays or at some point in your life. Or rather, you just can't exactly remember which one you're up to anymore. Maybe that's a sign of old age as well. We can't remember our birthdays, but before you know it, it's all over. And we fly away. Our days are passing quickly. And why does God tell us this? Why does God tell us this in the psalm through Moses? Is God just making a factual observation? Or is there something more? Yes, something more. God would have us reflect on this reality, I think, so that we might live well. If our days, you see, are a limited commodity, then every day we spend another one, then our supply of days is dwindling. There's only so much petrol in the tank before the engine's going to cough and splutter because it's run out of fuel. And friends, God gives us this reflection, this wake-up call that our days are passing quickly. He gives that to us for a reason. For when we come to terms with the reality that our days are numbered, then we are made ready to use the days that we have remaining to serve the Lord. As one person once wrote, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." So I ask you this morning, as you look back on the year that's gone by, January 1 through up until today, what do you see? What are the themes of this life, this year that has gone by? What themes characterize it for you? Do you perhaps look back on a wasted year? A year that had many opportunities for you to serve the Lord with the gifts and talents He's given you, and your family, and your work, and your relationships, and your church, and your service. It's very possible that you would look back and reflect and conclude, wasted. I wasted so much. Do you need to confess to the Lord this morning that you spent time somewhat recklessly? That it got spent on so many things that really now, when you pause and look back, don't really count for very much? Things that don't matter very much. But let's not only look back, let's look ahead as well. To the new year, which will begin tomorrow, unless Christ should return today. Will you use the new year, 2018, to serve Jesus Christ? Our days are numbered. They are passing quickly. Use the days that God gives you to serve Him while you still have the strength. But don't wait till next year. You don't have to wait till next year to make resolutions either. Don't wait until next year to serve the Lord. Begin today. Begin as you intend to continue. Don't allow 2018 to be a wasted year because it never really got going. Because our days are numbered and they're in limited supply. The work is hard. The new year will be full of hard work and zeal once the summer holidays are over. The new year will be full of hard work and toil. It will be difficult. And yet our labor in the Lord and for the Lord will not be wasted. It will not be in vain. We can anticipate that various sorrows will come our way as we serve the Lord in a new year. We can anticipate that sorrows will come our way in these quickly passing days. And yet we will not lose hope. And the reason we will not lose hope is because our hope is eternal. Our hope is lasting. Our hope is in Christ. Quickly passing days. Yet an ever secure hope. Hope in the Lord, my friends. Hope in the Lord, who is the Lord of time and the Lord of our days. Amen.